Yeah, okay. So we're talking here with Eamon O'Connor. You have an interest in radio. Would you like to introduce yourself there?
Yes, my name is Eamon O'Connor. I was born in 1954. I lived in Dublin. I suppose my first awareness of radio would have been hearing Radio Éireann in the early 60s. And what fascinated me there was the fact that I came across it twice on the medium wave band. And later on, of course, I realized that one transmitter was based in Dublin and the other in Athlone. As for local pirates, my first station I heard was Channel 70 in August of 1971. I then came across stations such as Radio Vanessa, Radio AMO, Radio Dublin, Radio Caroline, and Radio Galaxy.
Okay, and were you picking these up in, where were you then? Where were you based when you were picking these stations up?
At the time, I was living along the Navan Road.
I
would have been using...
type of radio, is it? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't be using like a transistor or a standard kind of mains set. Nothing fancy. I didn't have any communications.
And 1970, receivers. When you would say main set, would you be looking at a valve radio there?
Yes.
Yeah. And the stations that were broadcasting in those days, they'd have been medium wave, they'd have been music-based stations. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there were any speech-based stations at that stage.
And mainly playing pop music and...
Yeah. Yeah, they were, with the exception of Radio Galaxy, which introduced me to people like Bing Crosby, like Ella Fitzgerald, the pianist, Ross Conway, Neville Dickey. That station was run by a guy called Tony Boylan, who had an interest in, kind of wartime music, if you like. And he also introduced me to recordings of Lord Haha, William Joyce.
Yeah. And did you listen to many of the stations that were coming in from the North Sea?
Yes. Going back earlier, I would have listened to Radio Caroline and Radio London. Obviously, Caroline North, being based off the Isle of Man, was very well heard here. In Caroline South, I think, was heard at night, and reception wasn't as good because I think it was, somewhere off the south of England. But Radio Scotland, I used to enjoy. At that stage, Radio Erden was a part-time service, 8 to 10, 1 to 3, and I think 5 to 11. So when Radio Erden was not on the air, Radio Scotland could be heard very...
They'd come in behind well. Them, would they, on the same frequency? Or
yeah, they're very, very close. I think they were adjacent frequencies rather than co-channel. Yeah. But when Radio Erden was on the air, you could null it partially by rotating your radio.
Yeah.
But there were probably complaints from Irish listeners in England regarding interference to Radio Erden.
From Radio Scotland to Radio Erden, was it?
Yeah, like I imagine there were. It's the kind of thing that Eddie Bowen will probably know. But I'd be very surprised if there weren't complaints.
Yeah. And your equipment, would it tend to be in just the internal ferret rod aerial inside? Did you ever go for the long wires to get the... pull in further field signals?
No, not at that stage. I would have done later, but not at that stage.
Yeah. And do you remember the make or model of that radio?
I don't. Probably something like a Pi or a Philips.
Yeah. And the quality then would have been noise. Would there have been hums coming from the radio itself, or was the quality... Would you get hums from the transmissions as well? Being pirate, was there technical... Did they sound good? Did they have high quality or low? Did they have low quality outputs?
Yeah, they generally sounded good. The only thing that stands out in my memory was the fact that Radio Galaxy had a very distinctive modulation. Lots of treble, very little bass. It was quite distinctive in that sense. But all the other stations would have kind of given the impression of a lot more bass, I think.
And where would you find out about these stations? Would you just tune around to find them, or would you read about them or see posters or stickers, or how would these stations advertise themselves?
In my case, it was just a question of tuning around.
Whatever you could find, yeah.
Yeah, and finding them. A lot of the stations at that stage ran like had a mailing address, something called the, if I remember correctly, the Brighton Independence Radio Movement. So I sent off a couple of reception reports, and you know, got a couple of a couple of letters and a couple of verification cards.
So QSL cards styled, yeah.
You know, so in one or two instances, I would have exchanged, you know, kind of one or two letters with the people involved.
Yeah, and then did you get involved in radio then yourself? Did you ever work in a station?
No, I didn't.
No. And did you get involved in like CB or any of those kind of movements of kind of, you know, working on radios yourself?
No, I never did. No. I listened to CB, and it seemed to me to be loads of interference, American slang, and bad language. So yeah. I really didn't see the appeal. Now, I know a number of people who were involved in CB, you know, went on to get their went on to study for and get their amateur radio licenses. I went down that road eventually as well, but I've never been very active. So I would listen, but
You're more of a listener than a talker on the radio.
Yeah. So I'm kind of amazed when I'm doing this interview because it's not me really.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to compare and to share events and experiences, yeah. I suppose. The Irish radio movement has formed, and I got involved in that. And through that, I met a few people involved in the local pirate scene.
Yeah. And which station over the years stood out the most for you? Like, which one? I know, stood out for what reason as well? Like, which station stood out the most?
I suppose when things began to go beyond the hobby stage, I probably listened to ARD more than anything else, I would think.
ARD.
And
in those days, those stations would have been commercial, yeah? Would there be ads every 10 minutes or... what's your memory on that?
I think the first time I heard a commercial would have been on ARD. The other stations I mentioned would have dated from 70, 71, 72. And, you know, they didn't run commercials at all. I think, you know, I don't know if ARD was the first station to run commercials, but it is the first one that... the first one that I remember.
And were the stations 24-hour, or were they weekend only, or how did it operate there?
Oh, in those days, you know, weekend only, or you know, a couple of hours on a Saturday or a Sunday. You know, the 24-hour thing.
And the transmitters would probably go silent then during the week. They wouldn't be on holding the frequency, or they just go off air during the week. Yeah. Did you ever visit any of the stations? Did you ever like have an interest to want to go down and have a look at the studios, or did you ever go down and visit? Did you ever visit the stations?
Yes, I did. I visited ARD. At that stage, as I said, I was living on the Navan Road, and ARD was located in Cabra, in Killala Road, and I went up one day using a transistor radio, trying to direction find, and I was talking to someone, like asking them.
Just someone on the street, yeah.
Like asking them if they knew anything about it, which I suppose in retrospect is a foolish thing to do, because obviously pirates didn't want to reveal their location. Turned out anyway that the person I was talking to was Debbie Moore, as I discovered a short time later.
So she knew all about it, and
yeah,
brilliant. That was always one of my interests. That although pirate radio was illegal in a community, everyone knew where the station was. They always got that impression that it wasn't a well kept secret where the stations operated from. Did you have any? Did you ever go to any other stations, have a visit, or track them down?
No, I think a few of us from the on one occasion, a few of us from the Irish radio movement went down to, I think it was Big D for you know, an evening, a look around. But and apart from that, no.
And do you remember where Big D was operating from when you went down?
I don't. I think it was somewhere off Mary Street, but you know, yeah. I'm not sure. A few of us had intended going to visit Radio Empathy, which is located in Churchtown, but that is raided in April 1974. And we were due to go out about a fortnight after the raid, so we never got there.
You never got there. And when you'd go visit, would you see the studios, but would you also see transmission equipment?
Yes. Another station I did visit was Radio Valerie. And that was interesting because it was on shortwave and located in a shed. So you had a table and a... From memory, the power supply was, you know, kind of one unit, then a few wires, and the rest of the transmitter. The thing that sticks out in my mind regarding that visit was there was a neon sign with the words Radio Valerie in the shed, and the crystal in the transmitter was 6317 kilohertz. It seemed to be a physically very large crystal.
6317. And was the Valerie based in Artane at the time, or was it in Baldoyle? Or do you know where it was? Where that studio was then? Was it based in Artane or in Baldoyle, Radio Valerie?
Valerie was based in Drumcondra.
Drumcondra. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I ended up working on Valerie myself in the mid '80s when it moved to Baldoyle. So it was very, very good station to get a start on. Actually, that was where I started.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I visited Dermot's home, and it was in the shed.
Yeah, very good, very good. And would you tune in then? Would you have a receiver that was able to do shortwave?
I would have listened for, you know, kind of many Sunday mornings. Or
yeah, and there was a lot of Sunday morning, nine in the morning to maybe 11 or 12. You could have five or six stations across, you know, Ireland and the UK. They would even go into QSOs at the end of their transmissions and shut their transmitters down, listen out for a QSO, and they would chat back to each other. Did you tune into those type of events?
Yes, now and again. I would have heard the odd one. I suppose what stands out in my mind there would have been the occasional QSO between Radio Caroline and Channel 70, both of which are located like in South Dublin, I think around the Dalkey area.
And were they shortwave based, or were they...
No, they're medium wave. One was, I think, 1320 kilohertz, and the other was about 1330. So occasionally they'd operate at the same time beside each other.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, after getting a lot, is there anything that stands out in your memory of radio that you'd like to bring? I've asked a few questions, but I'm... Anything that stands out in the... Do you remember the big raids and stuff? You ever experienced a raid or yourself?
Yes, I was listening to Radio Melinda on the Sunday the 17th of June 1970. Was it two? When the raid took place, Declan Mean was on there playing Donovan's Sunshine Superman.
Okay.
And at the time, I didn't realise it was a raid.
And
until a couple of days.
Did they announce it on air that we're being raided at the moment? Or
No, not from memory.
No, it just went off,
yeah,
did it?
Yeah.
And was Melinda operating from Sean McDermott Street at the time? Or?
It was, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Declan and a friend of his, Ernie Melia, who ran Radio Vanessa previously, did a thing on, I think it was Stephen's Day after the Melinda raid, thing called Irish Freedom Radio, I think they called themselves, but it was kind of done pretty hastily, and I think there were some problems that day.
And but did that take on a political? Was it a political station, Irish Freedom Radio, or
no? I think it may not have been called Irish Freedom Radio. It might have been called Irish Free Radio. You know, I'm not sure. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sure what they called it for the day. But it's interesting you mentioned that, because the only political station I remember was a station run for four Saturday afternoons between 1:45 and about at 2 o'clock or so in February 1972. Now, that was after the Derry massacre in January. And it was run, I can't remember whether it was by Sinn Féin or the IRA. I don't remember the content very much, but... Sean O'Reilly's Misha Era was used for its theme, and it bore a very strong similarity to Radio Galaxy in terms of its frequency. and in terms of its modulation.
So it's possible that they operated that or the equipment was used by someone else who took it over. Maybe by arrangement, maybe by force.
I think it was by arrangement.
Yeah, by arrangement. Because also at the same time, Radio Free Derry would have operated in Derry with its own information and broadcast. Was the content of that station very political and talk-based, or was there music as well?
The content the content was entirely speech, and it would have been quite political. As for Radio Free Derry, I never heard it, although a friend of mine, Carlo, did receive it. I think that operated during the Battle of the Bogside in August 69. There are some YouTube clips I've seen, an interview with Eamon McCann.
I've seen them myself, yeah. They're
very interesting.
It's good to have those recordings. Did you record anything yourself over the years? Were you able to get anything onto cassette? Or?
I didn't record a lot. I think I recorded some of... I think I made a recording of ARD... on the 31st of December 1988, but I wouldn't have recorded a lot of the time.
88, which station was that? ARD in 88, was it?
Yeah.
And were they going through the close down, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The day of the close down.
Do you remember the night of the close down when a lot of them went off air? Nearly most of them, I think the airways fell silent for Pirates. Do you remember that night well?
Yes. Very, very strange feeling the next day.
Yeah, an emptiness or a loss. Yeah,
yeah. Very similar to the British Marine Broadcasting Offences Act in August 67, when, you know, a lot of the UK stations fell silent, or the Dutch legislation in August 74.
And after 88, after the close down, did you slowly notice stations creeping back in the late 80s and early 90s?
I suppose I kind of lost interest. I wouldn't have been aware, or I wouldn't have been as aware I wouldn't have been as aware of pirate stations, in the early 90s or more recently.
And the mid 80s, the super pirates. What was your take on them? Did you like the quality and that they brought, and the professionalism, or did you like the kind of more easygoing, local kind of community-based pirates, or did you prefer the big super pirates?
I suppose I have fonder memories of the early days, because they were amateur. A lot of enthusiasm. The super pirates I enjoyed listening to, but because I suppose they had a very different atmosphere.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. Thanks. Eamon, for all your information there. If anything, I'm sure as you go through today, a lot of things will spark your memory and things come back. So maybe if more things come up throughout today from talking to people, we could get you in on a later interview as well. Well, listen, thanks very much for coming in and putting all this down to tape.
Grand, you're very, very welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.